Thank you for listening to this week's sermon podcast by Dr. John Hanna. It is our hope and prayer that you will be encouraged in your faith and in your walk with Jesus. For more information, please go to springfieldchurch.org. Here now is the most recent message.
I want for you, as God's people, to be strong and firm in the Lord. That's my prayer. You know, as we sang earlier, we're living in a day and age where though Satan may buffet and though trials may come, and we know that's true. We know that we're living in an age where the world will just beat us down, right? And I'm meeting more and more people who just seem to be beat down by the world. And it can be easy to be caught up in this sense of I'm hopeless, I'm powerless. And as a preacher of the Word of God, I want to say to anybody who will listen, we do not have to live powerless. We can live with power. We can live strong in the Lord. We can be formidable in God as we seek more of Him in prayer. And so it just dawned on me that this has kind of been a theme in my preaching lately, that I want for you to be solid in God. Though Satan may buffet, though trials may come, we can still stand firm in the Lord. Amen? So I began this series talking about how we should pray, Lord, direct my footsteps. Anyone here prayed that prayer already this year? I have prayed that more times than I could count. Lord, direct my footsteps. I don't want to go according to my path, because I've been there and I've done that, and things don't always work out right. So I want to follow your direction. Lord, direct my footsteps. It's a simple yet profound prayer that we can pray to stay strong in God. God, in all my ways, I want to acknowledge you. And the promise of Scripture is that you will direct my footsteps. Then I talked about another simple yet very profound prayer that we must pray is God, give me wisdom. Anyone pray that prayer? Yes, good, good. Because we need wisdom. We need God's guidance. We need to see life and we need to see our circumstances through God's perspective. And so God, we pray for wisdom. We pray that you expand our vision because we understand we are limited in our scope and in our ability to see things. And so God, by your grace, expand our capacity for wisdom so that we can live as you would want us to live. Then the last time I preached to you, I talked about another simple yet profound prayer that we can pray. Lord, help me. How many times have we find ourselves in a bind? You know, we may call someone to help us, but really our cry is, God, you help me. You save me. And how many times do we read in the Bible of God's people praying, Lord, save me, save me, save me. Today I want to look at the scriptural mandate for God's people in another simple prayer that we can pray to keep us strong, to keep us grounded in God, to keep us formidable. And it is very simply the prayer, Lord, bless me. Bless me. Now, I understand when I go to pray that prayer, it can be a little self-serving. And yet we see in Scripture that we should seek God's blessing because God wants to bless His children. So turn with me to Psalm chapter 5. Psalm chapter 5, I'm going to read the entire chapter to you. And if we read this psalm carefully, we can see where the psalmist makes his own petitions to God. Petitions that we can incorporate in our prayer life. Psalm chapter 5, beginning at verse 1. Give ear to my words, O Lord. Consider my sighing. Listen to my cry for help, my King and my God, for to you I pray. And so one of the things the psalmist is asking God for is, God, hear my prayer. Hear my prayer. But I wonder if one of the things the psalmist is doing here in asking God to hear his prayer, because we know God will hear our prayers, But I'm wondering if one of the things the psalmist is doing here is he's actually preparing himself to know that as he prays, God is already going to hear his prayers. He doesn't need to prep God to hear our prayers. God is anxious and ready to hear our prayers. But maybe this petition for God to hear his prayer is just as much a call to himself to prepare himself for the words that he's about to speak to his divine God. Verse 3, in the morning to you, you hear my voice, O Lord. In the morning I lay my requests before you and wait in expectation. It's a good rule of thumb, by the way, to begin your day. Begin every morning in prayer. The psalmist is very clear here. This is what I do in the morning. I will lay my requests before you, and I will wait in expectation. I will believe that God will respond in his perfect way and in his perfect time. Verse 4. You are not a God who takes pleasure in evil. With you the wicked cannot dwell. The arrogant cannot stand in your presence. You hate all who do wrong. You destroy those who tell lies, bloodthirsty and deceitful men the Lord abhors. But I, by your great mercy, will come into your house or come into your presence. Remember, he had just recognized that arrogant people cannot come into the presence of God. And so he is humbling himself as best as he can, realizing that God accepts humble people into his presence. We don't come to church arrogantly. We come to church humbly, recognizing our dependence upon God. We don't go before the Lord in prayer with arrogance. We do so with great contrition and humility, recognizing that it is the highest privilege afforded to us to be in the presence of Almighty God. But I, by your great mercy, will come into your house. In reverence, I will bow down toward your holy temple. Lead me, O Lord, in your righteousness, because of my enemies. Make straight your way before me. Verse 9. Not a word from their mouth can be trusted. Their heart is filled with destruction. Their throat is an empty grave. With their tongue they speak deceit. Declare them guilty, O God. Let their intrigues be their downfall. Banish them for their many sins, for they have rebelled against you. Verse 11. But let all who take refuge in you be glad. Let them ever sing for joy. Spread your protection over them, that those who love your name may rejoice in you. For surely, O God, get this, you bless the righteous. Let me read that again, verse 12. For surely, O Lord, you bless the righteous. You surround them with your favor as with a shield. Oh God, there's a lot here in this chapter. There's a guide here for how we are to approach you in worship, in prayer, in reverence, and in humility. And so, Lord, let the psalmist be our guide this day and every day as we seek every morning to lay our petitions before you, as we seek your face, as we seek your truth and righteousness, your justice and your will in all things. Lord, my prayer is that we will continue to be a formidable people. Though Satan may buffet and though trials may come, we can stand firm in you, hold on to you, seize your promises, and be the solid people of faith that you have called us to be. I thank you for what you're doing in our church. But our strength is not from ourselves. It is our connection to you. And all God's people said, amen, amen. We use the word bless in our society pretty liberally. Kind of like we use the word love. You know, I love pizza. I mean, who doesn't love pizza? But I love this, I love that. And we use the word bless pretty liberally as well without really thinking about, I suppose, what it means. Just a few minutes ago, Mako sneezed. And I heard, God bless you. I mean, that's what we say when we hear a sneeze. And no one sneezes better than Mako, so. I'll be at the store, and I'll sneeze, and some stranger will say to me, God bless you. And I suppose, you know, if a stranger's going to talk to me, that's what I want to hear, you know. I don't want to hear something else. God bless you. Well, thank you. I did a little bit of research, and by research I mean Google, as to the origin of God bless you when people sneeze, you know, because we just say it out of habit, but I got to thinking, why? Why do we do this? And this is what Google tells me. It says the most popular theory is that we say God bless you because it originated in Rome when the bubonic plague was ravishing Europe. And sneezing was one of the plague's main symptoms. And it is believed that Pope Gregory I suggested a tiny little prayer in the form of saying, God bless you, after a sneeze, so that it would protect the person from death. That makes sense. But there are other theories out there. One of the superstitions is that it stems from the ancient belief that a sneeze might accidentally expel the spirit from the body unless God blesses you and prevents it. Other cultures thought that sneezing forced evil spirits out of the body, leaving others exposed to wandering spirits. And so a blessing was to protect both the sneezer and those around them. And then there's the rumor, and I don't know if this is medically true or not, but that the heart skips a beat when we sneeze, and that when we say God bless you, it's a way of welcoming the sneezer back from the dead. So, Mako, we're glad you're still with us, okay? We hear people say, God bless America. If we asked 100 people what they meant by saying, God bless America, we would get 100 different responses, right? I mean, usually when we think of God bless America, we're thinking, you know, God bless America with great economic health, right? We want a strong, vibrant economy. Or we want a strong defense so that, you know, no one can touch our borders. Or we want the right person in office, right? And so we say bless and we throw that word out. And there's so many different reasons and understandings behind the word bless. But as I read the Bible and I understand God's blessing, or as the biblical writers use the word blessing, how God blesses the righteous, or how God wants to lavish his blessing upon you, or how we pray, God bless me, Lord bless me. How I understand blessing is that to be blessed by God means that we are to be more perfectly aligned with his will and his purposes. That's what it means to be a blessed person biblically. That we are aligned with God and his purposes and his plan and his desire for our lives. So what this means is that this is not a health and wealth prosperity message. As a matter of fact, this is probably an anti-wealth and health prosperity message. Because sometimes to be blessed by God, to be aligned to his purposes, his will, his plan for our lives, sometimes that means we have to be stripped away from everything that we think is a material blessing. All the stuff that we amass in our lives, and this is what our culture thinks. Our culture believes, hey, you got a nice house, you must be blessed. You drive a nice car, you must be blessed. You've got this, you've got that. You must be blessed. This is how we conceive of blessing. And yet the Bible teaches that to be blessed by God could very well mean that we be stripped of all that so that we can experience the presence of God more fully. Think of Job, for example. Job, by all accounts, was a blessed man. He had it all. He was wealthy. Beautiful family, riches, cattle, and all that was taken away from him. Yet he did not curse God. And he stayed true to God. He stayed faithful to God. Now, God did bless him in the end. But I think the greater blessing was that in the midst of his suffering, though Satan buffeted Job, and though all these trials came, the greatest blessing that Job encountered was that he never lost his faith and his connection to God. Turn with me to Genesis chapter 32. This is a great story. Genesis chapter 32. That shows us that we should ask for God's blessing. We can ask for God's blessings. We need God's blessing. But blessing doesn't always come in the way that we anticipate it. Genesis 32, beginning at verse 22, this is that great story of Jacob wrestling with God. Great story. I mean, this is the original WrestleMania right here. This was a wrestling match for the ages. Genesis chapter 32, beginning at verse 22. That night, Jacob got up and took his two wives and his two maidservants and his 11 sons and crossed the ford of the Jabbok. After he had sent them across the stream, he sent over all his possessions. All his possessions. Was he blessed? Materially, perhaps. So Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him until daybreak. And let me tell you, this was a wrestling match. I mean, there were all kinds of wrestling moves going on here. There were pile drivers and RKOs, and I mean, it was a wrestling match. This was a pay-per-view match. They wrestled all night till daybreak. When the man saw that he could not overpower him, he touched the socket of Jacob's hip, so that his hip was wrenched as he wrestled with the man. Then the man said, "Let me go, for it is daybreak." But Jacob replied, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." Talk about wrestling with God in prayer. Up all night, agonizing with God, pleading with God, begging with God, "God, I need to see you move in my life. I need to see you move in the life of my church, my family, my community." Wrestle with God. I'm not going to stop until you bless me. The man asked him, "What is your name?" "Jacob," he answered. Then the man said, "Your name will no longer be Jacob, but Israel, because you have struggled with God and with men and have overcome." Jacob said, "Please tell me your name." But he replied, "Why do you ask my name?" Then he blessed him there. So Jacob called the place Peniel, saying, "It is because I saw God face to face, and yet my life was spared." The sun rose above him as he passed Peniel, and he was limping because of his hip. Therefore, to this day, the Israelites do not eat the tendon attached to the socket of the hip, because the socket of Jacob's hip was touched near the tendon. We read here that he was blessed that very moment. He was blessed, but here's the cost that came with it. He had to forego those things that he thought were important to him. His past, his past identity, who he was. God changed his very name. Things drastically changed for him. That's the blessing of God, that he was able to see him face to face, to experience his presence. But some things had to be let go, because God had something new for him, set him on a new path, set him on a new direction. Yes, God wants to bless us with his presence. But his blessing doesn't necessarily mean we're going to have more stuff in our lives. Does God bless us materially? Of course he does. But the greatest blessing, as we pray to God, Lord, bless me. I will not let you go unless you bless me, is that we can be in the presence of God regardless of the issues that we're going through. Because even if God does bless us with all kinds of material stuff, this and that, when we die, we can't take any of that stuff with us. But the greatest blessing is to be in the presence of God forever. And we can experience God's presence and blessing in this life as well. Turn to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. This is what the Apostle Paul so beautifully articulates about the blessing of God. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. That will reorient your understanding of what it means to be blessed by God. Because we may have stuff in this life, but none of it compares to the blessings we have in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. I had a former Nazarene Bible College student of mine post something online, and I just responded because I liked what he said. And these were his exact words to me the other day. And I'm still thinking about what he said. But he said, Dr. Hannah, God has blessed you with many spiritual tools. And that touched my heart, that he recognizes that the blessings of God are far more spiritual than they are physical. Don't get me wrong. God wants to bless us physically, materially. But even if he doesn't, we are blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms in Christ. My first church was in Colorado, wonderful little church, and Renee and I spent 4 years there, and we really had a great 4 years there, wonderful people. And I think it was around year three or so, things were going really, really well at the church, but I was getting kind of tired. There was a lot going on. We were busy, and I needed a break. I was giving of myself quite a bit to the congregation. They were good, and things were going good. But this was the year that the Denver Broncos were going to play their last season in the old Mile High Stadium. And the Raiders, the ugly, nasty Oakland Raiders at the time, were coming into town, and they were going to play the Denver Broncos in the last Monday night game in the old Mile High Stadium. And this is a true story. I'm not making any of this up. I remember thinking to myself, because I had been to a preseason game when I was a little kid, but I'd never been to a regular season game at the old Mile High Stadium. It was a Sunday evening, and I was just, you know, kind of, I was tired. Again, things were going good, but I'd just been so busy. And I remember praying that night. I said, God, I'm going to pray a selfish prayer. And I admit this is a selfish prayer. But somehow, I would like to go to that game tomorrow night. And I'd like to see the Broncos beat the Raiders on Monday Night Football in the old Mile High Stadium before they tear it down. And I said amen, and I went to bed thinking, you know, I prayed a selfish prayer. Nothing's going to come of it. And I knew it was a selfish prayer. I kid you not, I'm not making this up. The next day, the captain of the Salvation Army in Boulder called me up. He said, John, we just had someone donate two tickets to the game tonight in Denver at Mile High Stadium. Would you like them? So after I picked my jaw up off the floor, I said, of course. And me and a friend from the church went to the game. I'm still in awe of all that. I mean, that'll mess with your theology, right? I mean, and I'm still trying to figure this out. But we went to the game, had a great time, went into overtime. It was awesome. Now, does God answer those kinds of prayer all the time? Of course not. And you might be thinking to yourself, that's just a fluke coincidence. And it might have been. I don't know. But I do know that God does want to bless his children. And then I was reminded of that verse in Matthew chapter 7, verse 11, where Jesus taught, if you who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more does God want to give good gifts to his children? And I think God knew at that moment, at that time, I kind of needed that. But if you're spending your time praying for that brand new sports car and it's not happening, James tells us you're probably praying with the wrong motives, right? And so what we need to do is we need to pray, God, bless me. Lord, bless me. Recognizing that the greatest blessing that God gives us is the blessing of his presence. Because when all else is stripped away, what's left is you and your God. And when you wrestle with God and you ask him to bless you, the greatest blessing is you can be in his presence face to face and experience the peace and the joy and the love and the holy divine presence of God that nothing else in this world comes even close to comparing with.
Hi, I'm John Hanna, pastor of All Things Good, a church that believes in the goodness of God because God is the source of all things good. We are located on the corner of 18th and E Street in Springfield, and our Sunday morning service is 11 o'clock a.m. For more information about our church, you can visit our website at springfieldchurch.org. We look forward to meeting you, and I hope you have a great day.